Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Hi, everybody. This is Marnie. Welcome back to another edition of Marnie's Friends. And have we got a program for you this afternoon? If you are looking for some inspiration or help during the holiday season right now, we've got five wonderful guests who are going to come and share some of their favorite holiday strategies with you. It's going to be a jam-packed hour moving from guest to guest. And if you haven't already done so, be sure to download the PDF, the little e-books that we put together using their best strategies. You can do that right at Blog Talk Radio or over at marniesfriends.com. So wonderful. We have just a few days left until Christmas. Actually, some of you are like, hopefully it's more than a few. But we're just about a week out from the beginning of the holiday weekend. And even though Christmas isn't until Tuesday, most of you, and I know for us, we have guests arriving as soon as Friday of next week, which is just a week from tomorrow. So we've got a lot to do in the next week. And also, we want to stay taking care of ourselves, taking care of the people around us well, being focused on our relationship with God, being focused on that Jesus Christ, of course, is the reason for the season. And so we want to step back and do all that. And if you haven't already done so, get involved in the Holiday Planning Boot Camp at Marnie.com. That's been really helpful to so many people this year, and it's a great way to step back and get some perspective on the holidays and get some organization going, too. Today's program is going to be focusing on hospitality tips as well as a few other angles. And we're going to go ahead and get started with our first guest, who is Lori Harton of LadybugMinistries.org. Lori's currently serving as the Women's Ministry Director in her local church, where she's attended since 2002. She's a mother of three sons, and her husband, William, have been raising a blended family for over 12 years. Lori founded Ladybug Women's Ministries, a California nonprofit, to encourage the everyday woman by relating to her with humor and warmth and reminding her of the Father's desire to have all of us firmly planted in his garden of truth. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Marnie.
Well, I'm so excited to have you here, and you have given us such wonderful both hospitality tips and some holiday-focused tips to keep Christ in Christmas. So let's go ahead and start with your first tip, which is co-op shopping. So tell me about that one.
You know, one of the things that I think my theme would be divide and conquer on this one. If you've got a friend and maybe you're more interested in going to something like Williams-Sonoma and maybe she's a little more interested in hitting Home Depot, split up your list and then kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. And then last Friday at our church dinner, we had several vendors come and just they had specials. And so in addition to being able to relax with girlfriends, I was able to do a little bit of shopping right there all in one swoop.
That's really fun. So what did you call that event?
Well, that was our church's Christmas dinner, but then we just invited local vendors to kind of give, you know, they like networking opportunities, and sometimes they'll run Christmas specials. And so we took advantage of that. And so it was our Home for the Holidays event at our local church.
That's really fun. And then your second tip is family gift packages. Love this one. Go ahead and describe that.
Well, one of the things that I want to do this year is I'm putting together theme baskets, and they will include the movies Courageous and the movie Brave, one for the adults and one for the kids. It encourages that family getting together, maybe sitting and watching a movie. But the theme of courage had a special meaning to our family this year, especially in regards to relationships. And I just want to share a little bit of that with our family and to let them know, but at the same time to encourage that family togetherness. And a family gift is the way to do that.
Well, you've put a little teaser out there now. Maybe you can explain a little bit to the listeners what your family was going through this year.
Well, we just had some relationship challenges. And like I said, you know, it takes courage to be the first one to speak up and actually address an issue. And this year our family did that for some things that we were struggling with in terms of our family relationships. And through the process of prayer and just God working, we were able to come to a sense of reconciliation in one particular family relationship this year.
beautiful. And then you're going to tie that into your holidays gifts by giving the movie Courageous. I love that. And everybody, you can be kind of let your wheels start spinning there. What's been significant about this year for you that you could tie into the holidays? Cool. Okay, let's talk about cookie and goodie exchanges.
You know, one of the things that comes up for me every year, and I'm sure that I'm not the only one out there, is lots of times you can have a ton of holiday parties that kind of come up all in the same. December is one of my busiest months, and when you have, you kind of hold a, if you want to hold a cookie exchange, what you can do is through that cookie exchange, basically take care of your needs. You know, if you have to bring something to those office parties or those little quick get-togethers, you can have a whole variety of different little cookies or goodies to take with you, and it's already done. You've only cooked one type of cookie, but you walk away with several so that you have a variety for all those parties that, that come up throughout December.
That's great. And also, for those of you who didn't know, in the Holiday Planning Boot Camp, there's the one day extreme baking day that I do that takes about 4 hours, but I have a whole list. I think it's like 8 or 10 different kinds that you make in that short period of time. And it has the step-by-step in what order you do everything and also the grocery list. You can get that all done. If you can't do an exchange, if it's too late for that, you can get it all done in one afternoon with that one. Okay, let's go ahead to communication helpers.
Well, there's so many things that are out there nowadays that you can actually have that personalized touch on things like your Christmas cards. You know, one of the things that I think really stops us from sending the cards, other than the rising cost of postage, is just the time. You feel like you have to fill out things, and there are wonderful resources out there like sendoutcards.com, where I know that they even have a component that you submit a sample of your handwriting, and they sign your cards for you using that. And so you can get all that done without really sacrificing that personal touch. And there's so many other print companies out there where you can get a really nice photo card done, and it's just a great way to kind of streamline that whole Christmas card process.
I want to just add in here to the note that, you know, in my mailbox every year, Lori, I get everything from cards that just have a scribbled signature in them, all the way to like 4-page epistles, you know, where you have every detail
Absolutely.
About the last year in the family. And whatever you can do is okay. I think we get a lot of, you know, we've always done it a certain way, and so we think that's the only way to do it. But if you step back from it just a few inches, you can see, you know, other people are doing it differently, and that's all right, too. So if you don't have time to do that big family picture this year, or if you don't have time to do, you know, it the way you usually do it, like you say, there's so many great assistant tools out there. If you just step back and say, what would be the thing that would work best for me? Awesome tip. Okay, and I love your last one here under the holiday tips is involving the kids.
Yes, you know, kids love to feel big, and anything that you can do to increase that for them is just, it's just so neat to watch. You know, he's 9 years old now, 9 years going on about 38, I think, some days, but he always wants to help out and do big things. And so, you know, when I put together those family baskets, he's going to be the person that I'm going to put in charge of dropping one of this or one of that in each basket. And it helps me save a little bit of time there. I can be multitasking while I'm doing that, but at the same time, I'm involving him and we're spending time together.
Absolutely. That's such a great tip. And I want to move on here because our time just goes so quick on these shows, but you're doing a great job. I want to talk about the holiday focus tips, and you just have some great tips here. So let's start with keeping Christ in the small stuff. How do you do that?
Well, this year what we want to do is a relative had shared with me just a wonderful idea, and it almost brings me to tears when I think about it. But I would, what we're going to do this year is have a family tablecloth that everybody signs, and it would just be a solid color, even white, with a permanent marker. And the nice thing about that is, you don't think about it until maybe the next year or in the following subsequent years where maybe somebody's gone home to heaven and you can remember that they were there in 2012. And you can, you know, one of the things that, so in order for the tablecloth to not get dirty, maybe cover it with clear plastic. But then afterwards, after that meal is over and you're putting that away, it's a precious keepsake. you know, the following year, I feel like it could spark wonderful conversation and have us just really reflect. And one of the things I am going to ask my family to do is, in addition to signing their name, is maybe signing, writing down a special scripture, something that really means a lot to them. And I just feel like the next year, it's going to bring about such a wonderful reflection time.
That's really cool. That's a great idea. I remember in my parents' church, they were going to build an addition, and they had this one wall that was going to come down. And they had everybody, and they knew that the wall was going to come down, but they had everybody in the church, just as many people as could, go over there and sign that wall with their favorite verse. And they started doing that at the beginning of their fundraising campaign. And then finally, you know, the day that the wall came down was a big celebration day. But all along the way, you could go over that wall and see these verses, these favorite verses of people. It was really a cool thing and just so fun, you know, such a different way to do that. And I love this idea. This is a permanent keepsake that you will have forever. And even, like you say, when a person is no longer there, their signature and their verse will still be on that tablecloth. That's awesome. Love that one. Okay, remembering what matters.
Well, when I listen, when I received the information to participate in this radio program today, I thought about that whole hassle-free holiday hospitality, and I started really reflecting on, you know, those words define. And, you know, the definition of hassle was, it included troublesome concern and state of confusion and turmoil. And I know we've all been there probably at least once in our lives. But I don't think that God ever intended for the celebration of Jesus' birth to be any of those things. So
right.
The thing that I would rather focus on is that hospitality part. And so whenever I'm tempted to think about, you know, hospitality having an expensive price tag on it or having to look a certain way, I also reflect on the definition of hospitality. And it means to be readily receptive and to be given to a generous and cordial welcome. And I don't think that that says it has to be expensive. And the thing that always makes me remember that is the fact that Christmas, in the very Christmas defined, happened in the most humble of stables, and it was among animals. So that's what I try to remember when I'm thinking about what my hospitality needs to look like.
That's so awesome. What is one of the things that you're most excited about this holiday season, Lori?
One of the things that I'm most excited about is that this year Christmas will be in my home. In previous years, we rotate. And in previous years, it's been at others' homes. But this is my year to be able to open my home and my heart and be readily receptive to those that are walking in.
That's so great. And, Lori, I'm going to say and encourage you and all you listeners to remember before your first big event comes, maybe you've already had a big event, maybe it's this weekend, possibly it's not until next weekend that you celebrate Christmas with your family, your extended family too. Remember to step back and ask the question, how do I want to feel at the end of our time together? How do I want to feel at the end of our time together? And what am I going to have to do, maybe possibly different from last year, in order to be able to feel that way? And then, just let the Holy Spirit talk to you there. And then the next question you want to ask is, how do I want the people who I've been with to feel about me when we're done with our time together? Do I want them to feel impressed? Do I want them to feel like I love them? How do I want them to feel? And take some time to really think about what your goal is, because a lot of times we just rush through these holidays and we don't step back and say, what am I really trying to accomplish here? And Lori, I appreciate especially the reminder that the first Christmas, of course, was in a stable. There was nothing expensive about the whole thing. It was nothing about money involved, and we often lose track of that, don't we?
Yes, we have.
Well,
those are very good questions, Marnie. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah, and with everybody here, too. Okay, well, thank you so much for being here, Lori, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, too, Marnie. Thank you so much.
You guys can find out more about Lori over at her website, ladybugministries.org. And if you're looking for a speaker or someone to help you focus your attention on Christ through the holidays or afterwards, you can visit with Lori over at her website. And we're going to come right back and introduce our next guest, Sue Donaldson. We will be right back.
Do you ever need speakers for dinners, retreats, conferences, or other women's events? Check out www.womenspeakers.com. It's the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, featuring over 1,500 Christian women speakers, some near you, and some from every level of experience and fee range you can imagine. So you're sure to find lots of great speaker options for you and your next event over at www.womenspeakers.com. That's womenspeakers.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Marnie Swedberg, and you are joining us this afternoon for some hassle-free holiday instructions and tips and strategies from our five wonderful guests. Our next guest is Sue Moore Donaldson. She lives, speaks, and breathes hospitality with a purpose from her home in San Luis, California. Her ebook, Come to the Table, God's Hospitalities and Yours, is available on Amazon Kindle or on her website, welcomeheart.com. Welcome to you, Sue.
Well, thank you so much, Mari. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I'm excited, and you've sent us so many wonderful tips here. We're going to just kind of go through them quickly. And everybody, remember, if you haven't already done so, if you're just joining us, you can download the whole PDF little ebook that's put together with these strategies over at Marnie's Friends or at Blog Talk Radio. Sue, you had your first one we were just talking about before the break is to determine which holiday events really need to happen. So go ahead and give us some examples of what you're talking about there.
Well, that is a great question, and I decided this year to ask my daughters, what do you really want me to do for this Christmas for holiday hospitality? And I said, do you really want us to do the Christmas Eve soup potluck? And I got a resounding yes, which was reassuring. So that is something we are going to keep, and that's something where I invite people who don't have family in the area just so that it can be more of a holiday spirit, and it's a great outreach. And then the other thing was I really felt impressed that I was not supposed to host the neighborhood coffee this year. I'm the one who usually spearheads it. We send out 80 invitations and about 20 come. But I just felt with my work schedule I couldn't do it. So I prayed about it, and I offered it to three different women, and one woman who's a recent widow said, I think I need to do this. So that's going to happen this Saturday.
Awesome, and you're not going to have to do it, are you?
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be a big relief.
Yeah, I think that these, a lot of times we can just get rolling and forget to step back and say, am I really supposed to do this? Just because I did it last year or the last 25 years, am I really supposed to do it this year? Right. You also suggest making a master list. So that's kind of like after you decide what to do, you make your master list?
Exactly. But then a master list still needs to be mastered by the master, you know what I'm saying? So that has to be flexible as well. For instance, last week I saw a friend who is going through a divorce, and her birthday is this week, so I said, let's have a breakfast, and then through different plans, it got changed three times. So it was on my list, but I had to change it three times, but I really felt that was my gift to the Lord Jesus for his birthday, was to give her a birthday party, and that happened yesterday. So
That's awesome. Yeah, I have a phrase that I say all the time, there is time to do everything God wants me to do. And then I always follow
I love
that up
that.
With, yeah, there's not time to do everything. There's not time to do everything good. There's not time to do everything everybody else wants me to do. And there's not even time to do everything I want to do. But there is time to do everything God wants me to do. And as long as we just keep that in mind, we won't have so much stress in our lives. Okay, well, let's keep moving here. Simplify your traditions. Talk to us about that.
Well, I think traditions are beautiful, but they cannot rule our lives. And so, again, you submit those to the Lord. We started doing a birthday party for Jesus when my oldest daughter was in kindergarten. We did it for 15 years. And every year we did it a little differently. But the last 3 years we haven't done it. And I think that's okay. I had to let the tradition go. And but I would simplify it by asking people to help me. You know what I'm saying? And they bring treats or they help with the craft. And then it makes it more simple.
Yeah, absolutely. And then plan and do ahead as much as possible. That is always just such a great strategy to not leave everything until, you know, the time when it's due.
Exactly. Well, when I had a free time last Sunday, I baked extra cookies and froze them. I made extra
pumpkin bread pudding, and I froze it, and it's good to have a freezer, that's for sure, and just plan ahead and then divide it up, and then and also just find a specialty. Maybe you only make one thing really well, so you should be proud of that, and then make a whole lot of it, and then share it with someone, and they'll be thrilled to receive it.
That's right. That's great. Yeah. What is it that you can do? I remember Sue, the first year we owned a restaurant, and I was working so much because we had to figure the business out, and it was kind of a failing restaurant when we bought it, and just working so many hours, you know. And some new neighbors moved in next door, and when I saw my husband, I said, I feel so bad. I would always, in the past, I would always have made them cookies. And taking mm-hmm. them over welcome cookies, but I don't even have time to make cookies. And he said, mm-hmm. Marnie, you own a restaurant. Take them a meal from the restaurant. And I thought, that's brilliant. See, you know what? Yeah. Sometimes you don't step back as far enough in your own life to see that happening. So that's a great idea. Don't worry about if you have the whole wide smorgasbord of everything. Just what is it that you can do? Yeah, great.
Exactly. And people, you know, they love to be asked to help usually. And it gives them something to give where they don't have to worry about bringing a hostess gift. They can just bring the crackers or the cheese or whatever it is that you could. It blesses them to have them help you.
It's so true. People don't like to come empty-handed. And when mm-hmm. you give them something easy like that, like you bring the, you know, dinner rolls or whatever, even if it wasn't easy, even if you asked them for something bigger, they like to bring something. So that does really help. And then you say, begin with prayer.
Right. I was challenged years ago by a friend who said, why don't you ask the Lord what he wants for his birthday? Mm. So it starts about mid-November, if I think about it, or December 1st for sure. And then it's always a surprise what he wants. And then, of course, like you said earlier, he enables you to give him what he's asking. And it's such a blessing.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, it is his birthday after all.
Exactly.
And you actually have some gift ideas for Jesus that you put together for us. I'd like to just go through this one by one here and just explain a little bit about each. First of all, is to host a neighborhood cookie exchange. So one of the tips we had in the first segment was a cookie exchange, but this one's a little different. Tell us about yours.
Well, you just send out invitations and ask everybody bring a set of cookies that we can trade off, and then often I'll have people share the recipe, they bring it with them, and then we trade them, and then it's just a time of fellowship. It's basically just to get someone into your home, because it may be the only time that you get them in. I think we live in an area, unless you garden, you're not outside because of the garage door opener. And so this is a way to invite people in, and you can kind of get away with a lot at Christmas about the Lord, because they don't mind singing Christmas carols, and they don't mind mentioning the word Christmas, and it's a way to take advantage of sharing the gospel.
Mm, cool. And then your second one is give a children's birthday party for Jesus.
Right. I just blogged that yesterday, so if you want to direct them to the blog later, but I just listed a bunch of ingredients. Very simple. Keep it simple, like we said earlier. Invite your kids' friends, or if you don't have kids, invite your friends' kids. And when my kids got a little older, they felt they were too old for it. I invited my friends who had little kids, and my kids put on the party for them, so they were kind of mentoring how to do it, so it was wonderful.
Okay, and if you don't know, Sue's website is www.welcomeheart.com, and that's where that blog is about the birthday party for Jesus.
Right. That was just
caroling. Yesterday. Yeah, caroling, that's a great idea.
Oh, yeah, we try to do that on Christmas Eve. Even without guitars, we just do it a cappella, and we go to a few homes and sing, and then we come back and have dessert, so that's great.
One of the things we've done through the years, and even sometimes we do it with all of our staff, at the holiday season, is go caroling to not necessarily only the care centers, but also the places where it's kind of an assisted living place where it's seniors. But we just go up and down the halls, and that's really a fun time to just knock on the doors as we go, and people really get a lot of enjoyment out of that. Okay, that kind of ties into the next one. Take Christmas to a shut-in.
The same thing. Just take a treat. You know, they're not used to having homemade fudge or whatever it is that you have, and go visit a friend or make a new friend. I used to take my children over to this couple's house who didn't have children of their own, and we would even go over on Halloween to show them the costumes. And they just so appreciated, because they still love children just because they didn't have their own. And then our kids were sort of adopted by them. And so we would just take over a little treat and say hello.
That's awesome. Your next tip I've never heard of before. Host a Saturday morning early power shopping breakfast.
Yes, this started because this was before I was working outside the home, and I realized I couldn't get acquainted with my neighbors who worked because they were so busy. So I made it on an early Saturday morning because I know our Saturdays are so precious during the Christmas season because that's when you need to shop because you're working Monday to Friday, right? Mm-hmm. So I called it a power shopping breakfast. So I would have lots of protein and goodies, and they came about 9, and I wouldn't hold them for very long, and then everybody brought a little tip for de-stressing your holiday, kind of like what we're sharing right now. And so I served them, and the first time we only had like 12, and it was a roaring fire, and there was lots of rain outside, and everybody shared a tip, and then I ended up with free aspirin and chocolate goodies, like tiny kisses, and
cute.
So you need chocolate. And a Bible verse, peace on earth, because that's what we need.
Cool. Cool way to do that. Okay, host a chocolate open house. Now that sounds fun.
Oh, I went to one, and so I said, let's have one. So everybody brought chocolate who wanted to. We invited 100 people. We had 50. I had a new baby. She slept through the whole thing. And it wasn't really a time to present the gospel. It was a way to have a lot of Christians and non-Christians come into your home. And a lot of my husband's colleagues, which was helpful. And then I had a Christian friend make a wonderful chocolate cake, and she labeled it Jesus' birthday cake. And that was the main outreach. But it was just a wonderful time of outreach.
That's awesome. I'm going to just whip through these and then let you pick your favorite and come back to one here. Number 7 is invite friends for a soup and biscotti. Pray for unsaved friends and relatives. 8 is watch someone else's kids while their parents go shopping. 9 is begin celebrating Advent in your home. 10 is invite your child's teacher over for Sunday dinner or brunch after the Christmas program at church. Great idea. 11, take treats with your kids to visit an elderly couple whose grandkids won't be visiting this year. And 12 is take a coffee cake or holiday pie to a friend who's hosting a lot of overnight company. Which of those is your favorite?
Well, all of them are my favorite, but my most favorite is a soup potluck on Christmas Eve. We go to the service at church, and then people who don't have family come over, and they bring soup, and we've had the same families for several years. But it is an avenue, Marnie, for me when I meet a new friend at work who doesn't have family or who's struggling with a divorce or whatever. I just invited a friend yesterday who's a single mom. She goes, I'm bringing my kids. Well, this would be her first Christmas Eve service ever, and she wants to make 2 soups. I'm delighted. And she accepted the Lord over tea yesterday. It was so exciting.
Yay.
So that is, I know. That's the whole reason for hospitality as far as I'm concerned. So she's going to come to this, and I'm just so delighted, and she's going to meet a lot of other Christians there. And a few strays, too. I always say, let's bring a few stray lambs. Always invite somebody else. So that's great.
Oh, that's just awesome. Well, Sue, I'm so grateful that you took the time to submit these and to share them with us here today. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. And I love what you said, so I hope you write it down somewhere about we don't do anything without God's help that he's asked us to do. If you can write that down, I can put that on my blog because I thought that was fabulous.
Okay, that's great. There's time to do everything God wants us to do. There you go. Okay,
that.
Well.
Thank you, Marnie. God bless you.
You bet. We've been visiting with Sue Donaldson. Her website is welcomeheart.com. And especially, we just mentioned during the exchange with her that she has right now on her blog instructions for how to host a birthday party for Jesus. So if you haven't been over there yet, you want to go check that out. We're going to come right back in a few minutes and meet with our next guest, Becky DePraw. We'll be right back.
The fastest and easiest way to find out which major women's events are coming to your area is to visit www.womensevents.info. That's womensevents.info. It's the only directory of its kind, and it features all of the major events like Women of Faith, Beth Moore, eConference Women, and so many others. It's free to search, and you can find it all at womensevents.info. Do you carry a few extra pounds around than you'd like? Are you sick to death of dieting, or maybe sick of resisting the urge to diet because every time you try, you gain back more than you lost? Check out eatingwithgod.com. That's eatingwithgod.com. It's the easiest, most obvious, and most powerful powerful non-dieting approach to weight management that you'll ever find. Starting today, you can enjoy every bite eating with God. Learn more at eatingwithgod.com.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is Marnie Swedberg, and I'm excited to have you with us this afternoon. We are getting some great tips here for having a happier holiday and keeping our minds and hearts focused on Jesus Christ. Our next guest is Becky Dupras. She's a Christian artist, teacher, wife, and stay-at-home mom of three. She describes herself as having ADHD, which she says makes her spontaneous and often hilarious. She was born in Puerto Rico. She grew up in a culture where spontaneous hospitality comes naturally. As a pastor's child, her mother taught her to be hospitable to everyone by opening their home to all, from dignitaries to the homeless. And her paternal grandmother showed her that by offering a simple drink of water, she could bless a stranger. And Becky, welcome to you.
Oh, thank you for having me, Marnie.
Well, I'm so excited for you to get to share your tips here today. You have a ministry called Hospitality in a Nut Roll. So maybe just give us a little background. How did that get going?
Yes. Well, my mother-in-law actually makes nut rolls, and she taught me how to do them. And it was interesting because it's kind of a sweet bread type of deal that you can make ahead of time. And so I started making them and putting them in the freezer, and every time somebody was sick or just blessed a family that had family come to town and they were hassled because they needed to prepare the big meal, I said, hey, let me bring you a nut roll. So that's how it started.
That's great. That's great. You know, in your notes, we've included this in the little e-books that we put together, but in your notes, Becky, you talk about the word hospitality, and I'd like you to just share your insights there. I love it. I'd never really thought about that before, but I love it.
Well, it was interesting. One day I was preparing for a speaking opportunity I had in Elmira, New York, and I started praying. I said, Lord, you know, what do you want to bring? And I was looking at the word hospitality, and I kid you not, all of a sudden, the word hospital stood out. Mm-hmm. And it really, I was really in awe how the Holy Spirit just puts like goggles on you and say, mm-hmm. look at this word. Yeah. And then realizing that we are our homes and our lives are God's hospital, and that he can bring in his patients. It could be a person hurting because they're having some trouble at home, or it could be somebody who just needed somebody to pay attention to them, or somebody just that doesn't have any family close by. And there you are, your hospitality is actually God's hospital for those whom he brings into your life. So I was in so much awe about that.
It's so beautiful, and just this morning God was talking to me about from Isaiah 54, verse 2, where it talks about to expand the place for ministry, stretch your tent curtains wider, because God's going to do something bigger. But God was just showing me this morning that that's really about our hearts. It isn't really about the ministry. It's really about the heart, and the heart that's willing kind of to be vulnerable and sometimes to get hurt by other people. And when we're dealing with people who need a hospital, oftentimes, you know, there's a saying, hurting people hurt people. Oftentimes you do get kind of hurt along the way. And God's saying to all of us to open our hearts very wide and let him take care of us as we take care of others. So I love that word picture, that hospitality has the word hospital in it.
Yes, I like
tip.
That. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Well, another thing that through that, the Lord also showed me that all the hassle that we tend to have when offering hospitality is because we're focusing more on ourselves. And when he showed me the hospital word too, when you're in the hospital, you're not concentrating on the nurses and the physician. It's the other way around.
Yeah.
And so it takes a lot of pressure.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Now, you have a strategy for helping take the hassle out of the food. What are your thoughts there?
Well, sometimes I used to think that having a party or having the people over for Christmas meant a 7-course meal and and prepare all these fancy things. And as through the years have gone by, I've realized that the way you take the hassle out of food, if you make it either ahead or you make it simple. So you prepare it. You prepare the meatballs. You can prepare them a month ahead, freeze them, and then put them in the crock pot that day. And the turkey, you can actually make it and then debone it and then freeze it. And so you are taking all a lot of the hassle during the holidays is all the food preparation. And we forget we can prepare some of that food ahead of time. And I am not a planner. I am so spontaneous. All my friends can tell you. But I realize that it does, the stress level goes down if you do have certain things prepare ahead.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, you know, another strategy we've talked about a little bit through the season here, too, is to ask people to bring some of it with them. Don't try to do it all, especially if you're having a large group. My goodness, people really would love to bring something instead
yes,
of watching you run around with like your head cut off.
I know. I actually, for Thanksgiving, two years on the road, I have done a potluck Thanksgiving with friends and family, and it's been wonderful. We make the turkey, and we have the mashed potatoes, and then everybody else brings everything. And each of them have said this has been the best Thanksgiving ever because we didn't have to prepare the whole food. And people are shy to do that, but you'll be surprised how willing other people
yeah.
are to bring things into your home.
Yeah, and in fact, I think they kind of like coming to the door with something in their hand. It makes them
yes,
feel like they're
absolutely.
Helping a bit. Yeah. Your next strategy is simplifying everything you can simplify. I love that.
Yes, well, and again, it goes back to the being spontaneous or a planner, homemade, or is it home cooked by another friend or... You have to simplify. You don't have to look at the magazine and tell you that you have to have all these things prepared because that's what Christmas is. No, you have to go back to the root of hospitality and say, what does these people need? And I think one of your other guests was talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's making them feel at home. It's making them... be in your home so that they can experience Jesus. They can experience that love. Simplify
right.
everything you can simplify. So go to the planner. I have a friend, Erica Bear, and she makes her cookies. She gives some to, it was hysterical, she gives some to her family so they don't bug her, and then she puts the rest in the freezer so that when Christmas comes, and her husband the other day, he had to go somewhere, and she was able to put a platter with all these delicious cookies in an instant because she had them all in the freezer. So she planned ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And the simplicity is because we have to see who you are. I have friends who make things complicated. To them, that's simple. What can you do that is simple for you? And bring that joy. Don't try to be Susie. You are who you are. And God gave you some gifts, and some can make these elaborate cookies. If you can just make chocolate chip cookies, then do so.
Even Becky, this morning I was in the bank, and they had these beautiful platters of cookies and such a big variety of cookies. And so I said to the teller, I said, did you guys all bring these in? And they said, oh, no, there's just a lady in town here that does this for people. So you can even just find somebody that's baking all kinds of stuff and making up platters like that and just get them, and it's all homemade, just not by you. So
that's
wonderful.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, how do you enlist teenagers to help?
Well, first of all, if you have a little, okay, I have to confess, I tend to bribe them. I said, I'll give you some pizza, or you can eat some of the things that you're helping prepare. One of the famous ones is pretzels, raw pretzels.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't have time to do the Christmas cookies, so we do chocolate-covered pretzels. So while they're melting the pretzel, dipping them, and then putting sprinkles, whatever they want to put on, I let them eat one of the trays. They love it. The other thing is my niece is coming next week, and her family, and so I enlisted not only my teenagers but also their friends. I gave them a little money for Christmas shopping, and they came and they helped me clean. And it was interesting because, yes, the bribery was that I was going to pay them a few dollars for their Christmas shopping, but also it was nice that they were working together and they have their friends. So that was an incentive, too.
Absolutely.
You don't have teenagers. You'll be surprised how many teens you know, or maybe a friend knows a teen, who are willing to come to your home, not necessarily to pay, but just to help. Sometimes we underestimate teenagers and their willingness to do things for other people. It makes them feel good that they helped. So
absolutely.
That's,
yeah, for sure. Okay, talk about preparing our guest room. That's a great thing to think about.
Well, my niece has a baby. So, again, I thought it was hysterical, the fact that the Lord was going to have me talk about hassle-free hospitality, and now I have all these things that are coming up. But one of the things is she has a baby, so I invested this summer in a garage sale, a brand-new portable crib, borrow a portable crib. And so she's going to have that in her room, so now she doesn't have to worry about where are we going to put the baby, just making them feel more comfortable. Also, a basket. Have 2 water bottles, a granola bar, and an apple, because you will be surprised how many of your guests are very shy, and sometimes they're very hungry, sometimes they might have diabetes, and they need something, and they're too shy to ask you, oh, can I have something to eat? So if you have it in their room, a little basket with things that are that wouldn't spoil, or something that can be wrapped, that can be eaten any time, then that will take the edge out of a shy person, and it will make your guest be more comfortable.
Awesome. And then I stayed in a home recently where in the bathroom, by the guest rooms, then in the bathroom there was a little basket in there, 2 of the things that you might have forgotten. So a new, you know, toothbrush, and it was just so cute. And I didn't end up using any of them, but I thought, wow, that was so thoughtful. That was my thought when I saw it, as thank you for thinking of me even. Yeah, and then your last one is really fun. Invest in a toy zone for guest children.
I always remember when I had my children and they were young, going to houses that there was no one toy to be seen. And I will get stressed because they will get bored and start playing with the lamp or something like that.
Right.
And so I, on my blog page, I tell people that if you have dominoes, because they can use them as little blocks, or just regular Legos, small Legos, a baby doll, something, a little bucket, that you will have a few simple toys, train track or something like that, so that when your guest comes and has children, you would make sure that you have this one, so you pull out your little bin, and then you can fellowship with the mom or the dad while the child is entertained. They're not, they're giving a little time to mom and dad to talk, and your guest will feel so at home. It will feel so relieved that their child has something to do and they're not getting into their ornaments or something like that. It's everything of helping people feel at home.
Right.
Home.
Yeah. And actually, that's just such a key for hospitality, is to think about how the other person will feel. And even for the child themselves, not only, you know, does it keep them busy, but the child knows somebody cared about me. And you can even, you know, pick up some of these things at a thrift store. You don't have to pay full price for them.
That's
or
right.
Something like that. Well, Becky, thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
I'm so grateful that, actually, you were the one that pitched this idea to us in the first place to have this type of a show. So I'm so excited that you did, and it was delightful for you to be here. And listeners, if you want to find out more about Becky, she does have a blog. It's www.rebeccafnow.com. rebeccadeprah.talkspot.com. She spells Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-A, and then it's the letter F in the center, F is in Frank, and then Deprah is D-E-P-R-A.talkspot.com. Okay, we're going to come right back and meet our next guest, who is our mother-daughter team, and they're going to talk to us about the stable and Christmas. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Successfully maximizing the gifts God has given us is the best gift that we can give back to God. Are you 100% clear about why you're here, about how God defines success for you personally? Are you on track with God's plan for your life? The best life on planet Earth followed by the best possible eternity for you? If not, check out the Success Principles Intensive Training course over at Marnie.com. It's a 6-hour online program that will change how you define and do your life from today forward. It's a biblically based approach to goal setting and achievement. So check it out under the Training tab at Marnie.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the last segment in our hospitality training today for the holidays. And our last guest is actually two guests, the mother-daughter team. We're going to introduce Chris Loop first. She's an experienced mom with two grown children. Her heart is to encourage others to seek the Lord in everything. She serves as, hang on one second here. Okay, sorry about that. She serves as the Director of Operations and Homeschool Support for Christian Perspective, and that is the name of their website, too, is christianperspective.net. Welcome, Chris.
Hi.
Hi, great to have you here. Now, we didn't hear back from Catherine for her phone number from which she's calling in, and we have many callers on the line. Could you tell us what her prefix is of her telephone number?
703.
I'm on the same line.
You're on the same line. Well, that makes it so easy then. Good. Okay, well, this is Marty, and you, the voice you were just hearing there is Catherine Loop, and she's a seasoned speaker and author. She's the owner of Christian Perspective, a worldwide online ministry, and she's the author of two books on teaching math from a world, biblical worldview, several devotionals, and numerous short stories. So welcome to you, Catherine.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, it's wonderful. So you guys must be in the same house then if you're on the same phone line.
We are, yes. We're actually sitting in the same room together.
Oh, how nice. And do you guys actually live in the same city as each other?
I still live at home with my parents, so we live in the same house.
Oh, okay, great. Great. And what you guys, how I was introduced to you was through Felice Gerwitz, who she's an expert in our training zone over here, and she had last year put out a PDF of Christmas shortcuts and traditions and that kind of thing, and you guys shared your gingerbread stables, and it kind of reminded me of one of the traditions that I had when our kids were growing up. We did little gingerbread houses out of graham crackers is what we did, and we changed stuff like that. But you guys did the whole, I just love it, you did the whole manger scene. So maybe why don't you tell us first about how this ever started? What was the first year that you did this?
The first year I did this, Catherine was about seven years old, and there was a gal at our church who was making gingerbread houses, and she had a whole, you know, she made 20 or 30 of them, and she put the gospel track inside the gingerbread houses, and she invited us to come over, and they needed more candy, so my kids love picking out candy, so we went to the store and bought a whole bunch more candy and went over and brought it over to her house. And she actually gave me the recipe for it. And when I got home, I thought, well, it's really neat to, you know, put together the houses, but I wonder if there was a way we could do something with the mangers. And that's when we came up with the manger. That's when I came up with the manger idea. So I just kind of, now that I, you know, she kind of taught me how to put it together nice and easily with the burnt sugar, which was something I could never figure out before with the gingerbread.
Well, and let's talk about that in a minute, too, here. But, you guys, if you haven't already done so, you need to download this. Download the free little PDF ebook that we put together for you. And then toward the end, you'll find the link in there to this PDF that the Loops have put together for us. And it is just adorable. It's got a little three-sided manger in the back. And then, of course, it has Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus in the middle, a couple little animals, and some trees that are amazing. Like, did you actually make those trees?
No, this was actually from someone we had given a kit to that had done it and sent a picture to us to show us what they ended up doing.
So cute. So adorable. And you just use, okay, so on the base, you just use a regular cake decorating platform of some kind, just a board or whatever you want to do to have it stable so you can move it around?
You can. I actually went to Home Depot, and they had spare pieces there that were already cut up into smaller sizes, so they just gave them to us. So,
cool.
And then we covered them with aluminum foil.
Exactly. But you can
right.
use their way.
And, like, what is the ideal size for that? If someone listening and they're like, I already know how to make this stuff, I just never thought of making a stable, why don't we just talk it through here a little bit? So what size would you say to go with?
Well, you know, off the top of my head, I'm going to say probably you're going to want 12 by 14 or so at least
okay.
by a piece of wood. I'm thinking that if you take the pieces that are in the back there and put them together, you'll see how big the stable is, and a lot of it will depend on how much room you have for other things to put in there. Like if you have lots of little animals and you want to do more shepherds, if you notice in this picture that they took, they have the trees off of the board.
Off of the base.
If they wanted to put the trees on it, you could make the board whatever size you want.
What do you think is the youngest child that you would have help you with this project?
I think just depending to help you as far as putting on the candy and
mm-hmm.
all that
yeah.
kind of stuff, I would think it's, you know, 18 months to 2 years.
Even teeny tiny.
Yeah, teeny tiny. They would be able to put the candy on and enjoy watching that all go forward. The burnt sugar part is really an adult only, you know, actually putting the pieces onto the stable.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and talk us through that burnt sugar concept?
Okay. Well, if you use an iron skillet, then you don't have a lot of cleanup. If you use anything else with burnt sugar, you'll ruin your pan. But in an iron skillet, it works out really nice. And then the gal that was making all those gingerbread houses just kind of kept it on her stove, the burnt sugar, and then she'd reheat it up as she made more houses. So depending on how many you're going to make, you just heat up the sugar till it's lightly burned, and then you just have to be really careful with it. You dip the first side in all along the side, and within 30 seconds it hardens, but you have to be real careful because it is really hot, and you just don't want the little ones around you when you're actually assembling that part of it. It's probably best to get the whole thing assembled and then have them come on in with the decorating of the icing. And then
they can
do all the other part of it, you know, all the candy and all that kind of stuff themselves.
So are you using then an edible glue frosting recipe for the rest of it too, the one that dries real firm?
Yes, I have in there some links to the icing. If you use egg whites in the icing, years ago we never thought anything about it, but you know, over the last 5 years or so, they've talked about how that's not actually a really healthy thing to have uncooked egg whites in your icing. So I don't know exactly how people are doing that. But if you use a good, firm decorating icing without egg whites, you can certainly eat the icing. But typically the icing, it doesn't taste good. Most of the ones that are firm enough to really put lots and lots of hard things on do not lend themselves to a good taste. So people are pretty much eating the candy and the gingerbread.
Right.
Kind of eat around the burnt sugar and the thing.
So fun. Well, tell us a little bit more about your holidays and what kind of things that you've done over the holidays, and maybe just a favorite or two that have really kept Christ in the center of your Christmas. Certainly, this is such a great project because not only is it fun to do together, I remember all the fun we had, and I didn't only do the gingerbread houses with my own kids, I actually did them with girls' clubs that I had in my home for over 10 years, and every time we did it, it was just so much fun. And we just, and if we do a bunch of them at a time, you know, let each person make their own, then you have this this party atmosphere going on, and you can go around and look at the creativity of each person involved, or if you have each person make one of the pieces, that could work too. But what are some of the other ways maybe that you guys have had in your own family or heard about that have been fun but not too extremely, you know, outrageous as far as the hassle side?
I'm going to let Catherine answer that for you. Go ahead.
Well, we have done so many different things. I'm not quite sure where to even start. As mom, you know, this was one of the first things that we did outside of the traditional sense of celebrating Christmas. And it kind of led us down a path to every year she would just seek the Lord and kind of see, you know, what can we do this year that would share you with other people and that would help keep our eyes upon you. And that led us to do different things. In the way of decorating was probably the most memorable for me personally. We created a throne in our living room one year with just a gold tablecloth and a crown that you can buy at like a party store on the front, and talked about heaven and how Christ was the ruler. And so that was a visible thing the whole month that kind of sunk into our heads and we could look at. One year we just took a big box and decorated it with gold wrapping paper, made it into a gift, and then put the names of God coming out of it on ribbon using. And that was, again, another visual thing that we could kind of take a look at and be reminded of, that he was the gift. And at times we, you know, decorated the Christmas tree with different things that would do that. We eventually replaced the Christmas tree with these other things that were more meaningful for us personally. We did Advent bags for people. I loved to write, so I would start writing different. Well, people had given it to us first, and we loved them as little kids. And then when I got older, I started writing them. But they were just basically a short devotional every day for the month of December leading up to Christmas that came along with a little gift, like a little lifesaver, and Jesus being our lifesaver, or some little trinket that went along with the lesson for the day. And as a little kid, I just absolutely loved receiving them. And then as I got older, it was such a blessing to have to think it through and give it to other people. So that was another thing that we kind of did, and those kind of became our gifts.
Hey, Catherine, right there on that one. Did you give, when you gave people the Advent kit, you gave it to them all at once, or you delivered it every day, or how did that go? How did you actually get it all into one package if it was in one package?
We gave it all at once. We would put them each day in a brown paper sack labeled for that day, like a lunch sack,
a white.
Okay.
And we tried to use the white one so it looked a little nicer. And we would just write the day of the month on it. So December 1 would have 1 written on the sack. December 2 would have 2 written on it. And inside of that sack would be the little trinket or candy or whatever, and a
color
piece
sheet
of paper that had the devotional. So the kids would get to pull out, you know, find number 1 and pull it out and open it and read that for the day. There were stickers. Some days had stickers. Sometimes we did color sheets. It just kind of depended. But we would definitely
That's so fun.
Them all at once.
Very fun. Yeah, and do you still do that? Do you still give those out sometimes?
Well, we kind of, I wrote a devotional called Jesus the Promised One that came with a little booklet for children, so we kind of figured out a way to do it, and we actually sell that on our website. And yes, I do sometimes give it out to people, but I don't make the bags as much.
Okay, sure. Well, we have about one more minute left, so I'm going to actually thank you guys so much for being here today and for sharing this with all of our listeners. I'm excited that, I mean, right in what they provided for us, guys, they have the actual patterns. You can just cut it right out of the paper and make your houses based on their patterns for us. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
And you guys can find out more about Catherine and Chris Loop over at ChristianPerspective.net. That's ChristianPerspective.net. This is Marnie Swedberg thanking you for joining us for another edition of Marnie's Friends, and we will be back next week with our final holiday edition of this program. And I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas early in case you're not here next week. And in the meantime, a lot of peace and joy and happiness in the reality that Jesus Christ did come to be born as a baby, but he came to live and to die for us so that we could have a personal relationship with his Father, Jesus Christ, and with the Godhead. And so excited to always share these programs with you, and this year to share Christmas with you as well. Have a great rest of the day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.